always seeking him and looking to bring remedy through truth, exposure, and accountability. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, the 15th of April, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Well, today is Good Friday. This is a Christian show. Our staff are Christians. We know that most of our listeners, the Stu Peters Show family, are Christians as well. And we hope that those of you who are not Christians will become Christians one day very soon. And we wanted to take some time today to talk about the very real role that God has in this world. This is the day that people usually come together to celebrate the unconditional love that Christ proved to the world in the unthinkable act of offering himself up on the cross to die for our sins. With tens of thousands of angels waiting for his call, Christ refused to stray from his mission. The real accounts are amazing, unimaginable, unfathomable. You can read about the real account of events on the 14th day of Abib in Numbers 28, and I would encourage you, please go and read Numbers 28. When the Son of God, the Word made flesh, allowed himself to be crucified like a common criminal. But it wasn't for nothing. Christ died on the cross so that he could conquer death itself, and so that all of us who believe in him, even though we are sinners, will be able to conquer death as well. Imagine that. Those of us who believe know that we will not die. And when we pass from this earth or this world or this life or whatever this is, we will spend eternity with Christ. And here's something to remember as we commemorate the death and resurrection of Christ. These events all happened more than 2,000 years ago. So what does that mean? That means that the victory is already won. Death has already been defeated. God is triumphant now and will be forever. And we recognize that sometimes, some days on this show, things can seem pretty gloomy. We don't like the people who currently allegedly occupy the White House right now. There's a lot of really, really evil people in government at every level and in our corporate offices and in our public schools. Frankly, there's evil people in your own neighborhood, potentially even right next door. I don't know. But in the end, we don't need to fear these people. We don't need to fear these people. They are the ones who must fear the inevitable and invincible judgment that's coming their way if they don't repent. And that's how it's always been. You can read about it in the Bible. No matter how strong they look, the enemies of God's children have been posting L's and getting crushed for thousands of years, even when it looked completely helpless. We see it right away in the book of Genesis, when God sweeps away all of the wicked people of the world, but spares Noah and his family for being righteous. We see it later in that same book when God destroys the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their degeneracy and perversion, but spares Lot and his family. We see it again in the book of Exodus when God allows Moses to part the Red Sea and lure the Pharaoh and his slave drivers directly toward destruction. We see it in the book of Judges when God restores the strength of Samson, allowing him to tear down the palace of the Philistines and slay thousands of his enemies all at once. We see it in the book of Samuel when the shepherd boy David slays the giant Goliath with what? A single stone thrown by a sling. We see it in the book of Kings when Elijah challenges the wicked priests of Baal. Their prayers before the altar of Baal go unanswered while Elijah calls down fire from the heavens onto his altar because he worships the true God. We see it in the book of Daniel when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to worship a golden idol. So King Nebuchadnezzar throws them into a fiery furnace, but the flames don't claim them, and later God sends King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon into madness for his sins. But God's power is limitless, which is why it's not just limited to the Old Testament. We see his power in the Acts of the Apostles when Peter is imprisoned by King Herod Agrippa, but an angel of the Lord frees him. And we see it a short time later when Herod allows his subjects to worship him as a god, and then he's immediately struck down for blasphemy. This has continued throughout history. That's why a small religion from an obscure and impoverished province of the Roman Empire eventually spread to cover the entire world. It could not have happened without divine intervention, but it did happen. The emperors Nero and Diocletian tried to stamp Christianity out through torture and through persecution and through hate, but they failed. And so on, all the way up to today. Satan is always on the prowl and trying to play tricks. He always wants to trick believers into thinking that it's hopeless. He wants people to think that evil is triumphant and will rule over the world or over America in this country forever, but it's never true. Evil is always toppled. God's judgment is coming. It's coming onto the Sacklers and everyone else who hooked Americans on opioid drugs. It's coming for the demonic groomers in our schools and in our hospitals who are plotting to hurt and mutilate children for their own sick fantasies. It's coming for the Faucis and the Gavin Newsoms and the Justin Trudeaus of the world who imposed lockdowns and told believers that they could not gather of their own free will to worship God. And yet, the judgment of God will come down on our religious leaders too. There are pastors and priests and ministers who tell their flocks that it's their duty to accept transgenderism and gay marriage and all kinds of sexual immorality. They tell them that it's God's commandment that they should be vaccinated. They ignore the words of Christ and replace them with the words of St. Mark's and St. Fauci. All of these leaders will one day stand before God, and it won't matter how rich or how powerful they perceived themselves to be in this life. They will be just as helpless as the rest of us. The only thing that will matter is what lies in their hearts. Those who are wicked and evil, who die in their sins, those people will be cast into hell. Where an unimaginable heat will be thrown from a fire that will never be quenched. An infinitely burning fire. But those of us who are righteous and those of us who believe will be joined with Christ forever. All thanks to the events that we're remembering right now. By his stripes, we are healed. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, Jesus says, quote, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The world is full of evil, but Christ has overcome it, and he's with us always to the end of the age. Somebody who I have observed consistently bringing people back to the gospel, pointing to the cross, is Jaron Jackson, and he joins us now. What do you want to bring today about God's will for the people?
Just re-listen to what you just said. I think that's fine. What you said was beautiful. The context of how God is in charge, he's sovereign, and he won the victory on the cross. And it is through the death, the burial, the resurrection, trusting that blood, Romans 3:25, that that Jesus shed his blood. That is what washes away our sin. And whenever you think about it from God's perspective, it's very easy to think about it from our perspective. Lots of evil, the Faucis, the Marxists, the globalists, the godless commies, as I like to say. That is the deception to get us to focus on the now, to focus on what we can see. You have to understand that God won total victory on the cross by dying. He didn't even do anything. He let them do everything to him that they wanted to do. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that if the evil of this age would have understood what they were doing when they crucified Christ, they never would have done it. Because at that moment, there is no more separation between us and God, which is what God cares about. That's why Jesus came, to reconcile all things to himself. That's Colossians chapter 1. And really what that means is that God's not worried about Satan and the demons and all the evil of this world. That's going to come. That he'll get that. He'll punish them. There's no contest there. What God wants, because God is love, 1 John chapter 4, he wants a relationship with us. He wants glory from us. That's why he had to bring eternity into time. Jesus had to come to the earth. He had to shed his blood, die on the cross, was buried, which is to show that he was dead. He was dead. And then he rose from the grave. And Stu, the entire Bible is pointed towards salvation, towards the knowledge of salvation. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. The idea is that God has made an incredible plan. He's done all the work. It points all to him. And literally today, when Jesus was killed way back, you know, when on Good Friday, our Passover Friday, that's when history hinges. We go from the moment of God's law and God's decrees to the moment of grace as soon as Jesus dies on the cross. That's Hebrews 9:16. The death of the testator, that's when God changes everything. And now that Christ has conquered sin and death, people like me, people like you, we do God's will by preaching the word. We do God's will by pointing people back to Jesus. And I think one of the most effective tools, and you do this, one of the most effective ways to do that is to take whatever the issue is of the day and bring it to the foot of the cross, because that's where everything was conquered. And last thing here, one of the most sobering thoughts that I've ever had, and I do this frequently, whenever I have anger, and I got a lot of anger. I'm an angry person by nature. My anger is subsided and soothed whenever I recognize that anyone who is not in relationship with Christ will for eternity be in conscious eternal torment in a lake of fire. Now, whatever you want to do to whatever these guilty people are, you want to hang them, you want a firing squad, you want to put them in prison, however, whatever you want to do, it's nothing compared to what God's going to do. And the last part, Revelation 14:10. These people that will be burning, Jesus is going to be right there looking at them. They will be burning in the presence of the Lamb. So people who think that Jesus is a hippie, people who think that he's not going to get justice, God cares very much about justice. It's just that right now, this is the time for grace. This is the time for love. And this is the time to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I gave this platform to God early on. Can't believe what he has done with it. And that's what people have to understand, is that every day I'm in the word learning new things. God is showing me verses that I have never seen before.
Right.
He's forcing me to recognize that the ways of the world from that previous life tried to deceive me, as they have tried to deceive every sinner, with temptation and with greed and with lust and with possessions and with money and all of the things of the world. And so now, looking back, only now can I learn in this new life as a new person, new things every day, and understanding that your works are not going to get you into the narrow gates of heaven, which I believe are getting more and more narrow every single day. Amen. But that it is only your faith that is going to get you there, and that is so easy for people to do. And the way that your life, if that's what you want to call this, will change when you recognize that your life can be eternal and with Christ is so mind-blowing that even a man who was trained in that world, in that previous life, as a rapper that God intended for me to fail at, but used it to train me, as a radio intern when I was 18 years old that God intended for me to fail at, but used it to train me, as a what I thought was successful bounty hunter, putting myself in situations insanely at the same time and place with a presumably armed person who would potentially do anything to keep from going to prison. That wasn't my forever calling. And now here we are. I'm following him. And it's not always easy. It's not flowers and rainbows and easy sailing. There's no finger snap where God just says, well, now I'm going to bless you and forever you will be perfect. No.
Right.
We are sinners, but it is so easy to see in real life, physically, things happening right before you. When you are in Christ, they all seem so different. I don't really know how to explain it.
Yeah, well, I think you're hitting on something that is true for anyone who has a relationship with Christ, and that is there's a lot of stuff we don't understand because it's not for us too. You said that stuff didn't make sense, that God uses your failures. And I'll say this to the people out there. Stu, this might not be the calling that you got in 30 years.
Right.
He might, God is perfectly capable of moving you to something else. Yeah. And it's that uncertainty. It's that position of ultimate vulnerability. That's where we find the cross. I frequently say the ground I'm most certain of is the ground I'm most vulnerable at. And that is at the foot of the cross. And what's interesting, you said that you're reading stuff in the Bible that you never saw. I was prepping for this randomly reading Leviticus. Leviticus is a really weird book. And you have to think, it's kind of dry. It doesn't make sense. Leviticus 14, these Jewish priests are doing this symbology thing with two birds that generally shows the death, the burial, the resurrection. So there's Jews today that will read the Bible and deny Christ. But even in their own Torah, even in the Old Testament, there's a picture of someone dying, blood being shed, and then being let go to symbolize the death, the burial, the resurrection. And this gets back to where a lot of people, mostly Jews that read the Old Testament, the Torah, they think that they're looking for a military conqueror. They're looking for a political solution. They're looking for salvation here on earth. And that's not what Christ is about. Christ is about the kingdom of heaven, which is a circumcision of the heart. Even that's in the Old Testament. And I guess my point is, people can't head their way into the kingdom. They've got to bend the knee and they have to understand that God is sovereign, that Christ is king, and they have to understand that they can't earn it, that Amen. Jesus paid it all. And that's what he said at the very end. He said, it is finished. And when he paid that debt, Stu, whenever you and I die, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, to be absent the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as you die, in whatever fashion that is, firing squad, cancer, poison, whatever, watch the water, right? Whatever it is that you die from, that's not our concern. Our concern is the fact that we are like Japanese subway workers. We're trying to shove as many souls into heaven as possible by preaching the word, pointing to the gospel, because that's how God saves. One thing that's hard for me is as a former infantry guy, I was trained in doing violent stuff. That's where my flesh wants to go, but I can't do that. And so the reason why I talk about the gospel so much is because I'm not a good person. I'm not a good person. And so every single time I think about bad stuff, I get back to the gospel because that was what makes sense to me. It's not because I'm trying to be churchy. It's because I don't want alternatives. And when we start to look like that, when we start to think like that, that's how God works. And it doesn't make sense. You can't plan it. You can't line it out. That's how God works. It's uncertain. It's vulnerable, but it's powerful. It's complete. And the best part is it can be done with anybody, regardless of what you've done. If you've had an abortion, if you're Dr. Anthony Fauci right now and you're guilty for doing all the things that you did and you recognize, I don't think he will, but if he recognized Christ as king, Christ conquered his sin too. The question is, who's going to feel the wrath for it? Did Jesus feel the wrath 2,000 years ago, or is Fauci going to feel the wrath? That's the issue. It's Christ paid and conquered sin, and that's an open invitation for all people, and that's what we got to keep in mind.
Yeah. Thank you for outwardly showing your faithful obedience. It's not easy. I get it. I know. Believe me. And learning is oftentimes very uncomfortable. I seek spiritual guidance from multiple different people because I understand the importance and the power of the tongue and this platform, and it's God's. And so I seek daily from multiple different people that guidance because I need it. I know I need it. You know how I know I need it? Because God tells me that I need it.
Yeah. And we all do. We all do.
And I listen to him and I faithfully follow him blindly and do things that push the envelope and that are completely uncomfortable and totally unnatural. And it all feels so natural. And then at the end of the day, it's in complete comfort when I rest in him and give these things to him. There is a cliche thing that sits on my nightstand that is the first thing that I see every morning, and it just says, good morning, this is God. I'll be handling your problems for you today. But if you really go through your day operating under that premise, faithful obedience actually becomes something super easy. I've got about a minute left here. What would you say to those unbelievers right now?
Jesus Christ died for our sin, my sin, your sin. Everybody is a sinner. When you sin, whether you lie, you lust, you take God's name in vain, many people create their own image of who God is in their mind. That's called idolatry. God hates that. That's the number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Eternal separation from God is what the price is for sin, and God will punish that. When you believe that Jesus Christ took your place, that his blood was shed so that you don't have to have God's wrath poured on you for eternity, you are automatically justified by God because God doesn't see you. He doesn't see sinner Jaron. He sees Jesus, and Jesus was perfect. And because God sees perfection, he will give you that cloak of righteousness. You will command and reign with him. You will be a co-heir with Christ, and you will have eternity with God. And God does not lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. And the last thing, read your Bibles. Believe your Bible.
Amen. Jaron Jackson, thank you for being here. God bless you.
God bless you, Stu. Thank you.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/Stu.
So we know that these godless commies are coming for everything. Because they know about the inevitable judgment. They can feel it. It's God's promise. They will be crushed and destroyed, and God doesn't lie. But in the meantime, they're going to come for your individual liberty. They're going to come for your freedom. They're going to come for your kids. They're going to come for your money. They're doing it. Look at the tax hikes and inflation, soon to be inevitable hyperinflation. It's the only way that the Obama regime, the satanic Biden administration, can try to convince you into how they're paying off this $28 trillion federal debt. So if you have money that you've worked for to create the future for yourself here in this world, they're coming for it. If you have $50,000 or more in your IRA or in your 401k or in your savings, they're coming for it. It's at imminent risk. They're going to take it. They're going to steal it. So learn how you can protect against that theft with physical gold and silver. Call 855-647-1372 right now. You're going to get a free gold IRA kit. 855-647-1372. These are my good friends over at Gold Co. They'll hook you up with $15,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. They've helped thousands of Americans to protect themselves already against inflation and tax hikes. So call them right now. 855-647-1372 for Gold Co.
The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by StepOnSocks.com. Founded by patriots, high-quality all-cotton socks, real silver, and flags. Use promo code STU when you visit StepOnSocks.com/STU. Without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Constitution is just a piece of paper. The tyrannical government has guns, and as their corrupt, bought, and paid-for narrative falls apart, they'll be more tempted to turn them on us. But don't worry, you're not alone, patriots. Buy a gun today from GunsAmerica.com, America's oldest and most trusted online platform for buying and selling the guns that keep your loved ones safe. Join the millions of gun buyers who shop there monthly. Private sellers and gun dealers, list your sales for free. No fees for transactions within 50 miles. Selling fees half the cost of auction sites. When you sign up for free at GunsAmerica.com, you get exclusive access to Guns America Digest, delivered every Monday. Honest gun reviews, firearm instruction, and wisdom from America's most popular gun writers. You also get Guns America This Week. Don't miss any important Second Amendment stories and several monthly magazines on hunting, prepping, and long-range shooting. When you sign up today at GunsAmerica.com, you get $10 off your first online gun purchase. Join the fight today at GunsAmerica.com.
So if Dr. Artis is right, our tap water is being intentionally poisoned and has been for years, arguably for decades. And we know that the water is contaminated with all kinds of different chemicals already. So if that's true, obviously you don't want to be drinking your tap water straight from the faucet anymore. But what can you do instead? Are you going to live on bottled water forever? Is that even safe? How about filtering your water? Can you treat your water? Are you going to have to dig a well in your backyard? Well, there's one person that we always turn to for questions like this, and it's Paul Holinsky, the master prepper at GunsAmerica.com, and he joins us now. So there's a difference between treating and filtering. You want to speak to some filtering stuff. How do you do it? I mean, we've known that there's been fluoride and chlorine and all kinds of God knows what in our water for a long time, correct?
Yeah. And that's really how it boils down what are your options? So you've got on grid and you've got off grid. All right. So what I looked up, because, you know, obviously I watched the documentary, and he was saying that what they were infiltrating the water with was peptides and potentially proteins. Right. So I looked at what are the theoretical sizes of peptides and proteins, and one of the problems is a lot of this fuzzy science. In fact, you know, Kerry Mullis, you had that interview with him where he was saying about Fauci that he thinks you can look under a microscope and see a virus and you can't. And it's kind of the same thing with these sub nanometer particles. I don't know that anyone's ever seen them. I think that they're guess at the sizes, but nonetheless, we have to go with what they say. So the peptides, what I saw is that they're about 2 to 4 nanometers. Okay. Now, an off-grid filtration system. Now, I'm not going to get into Berkey, because Berkey they're not good products. They don't even tell you what their filtration rates are. They're basically just one of those overblown products that are overpriced. The best water filters out there are from a company called Just Water, justwater.me, I believe. And there are retailers out there, very few. They kind of have a phone number on their website. Those are the filters that they sent to like South America and Africa. Those are like the real filters. There are some copies. They look like a dome, like a white dome. And there's some copies now that you'll find on Amazon for like 10 bucks or so. I don't know anything about them. They claim that they have the same filtration rate. I'm not sure about that. The Just Water filters will go down to 0.2 microns. Okay. So 0.2 microns is 200 nanometers. Now, remember, peptides are 2 to 4 nanometers. So off-grid, really your only option would be to, if you're on city water, if you're on a well, obviously you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And I do suggest that if you have the freedom to put in a well, like in Florida, we have these kind of 150-foot wells. They're not really artesian wells. But if you can have a well put in, you're better off with a well, even if you have to treat it for a lot of the wells here have sulfur dioxide in them. So you have to treat them and then you filter it back out. Sulfur dioxide is a gas. Eventually it will bleed off. So it's a solubilized gas. So in a prepping situation, you can just kind of pump it out with a pitcher pump. Like I have a pitcher pump at the top of my well and then just let it sit in the sulfur dioxide eventually will bleed off and you won't have that sulfur taste. So that's one thing that you can do off grid. The other one would be obviously, would be, I'm losing the word, where you boil it and you condense it out. What's the word for that? I
call it boiling. I don't know. I mean, this is the first time I've ever really looked into any of this, sadly. You're talking to a guy who was a bounty hunter, for crying out loud.
Right, I know. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I'm blanking on the word. But anyway, most people who are watching this will know when you can't just boil your water. As far as I know, to kill peptides and proteins, you know, those are, I guess they're carbon chain molecules. So I don't think that boiling water is going to, quote, kill them. They are not living organisms. So that would be your only real, I don't know why I'm blanking on the word. It's the same thing that you do for distillation.
Okay, there we go. Distilling the water. Alcohol, I was coming right? up with, I was thinking reverse osmosis. Yeah. I was trying to think of all kinds of different things.
We're going to get to RO. But that would be distillation. All right. I had to think of a still with alcohol, of course, the perfect off-grid, you know, money-making scheme. So that would be distillation. Distillation is really the only thing that I can think of. It's going to get rid of something that's really just carbon chains and not really an organic, alive thing. Boiling your water, probably not. As Dr. Jane has said on her show, with a lot of the chemicals that she's talking about. Now, the Just Water filters, even the 5-micron filters, will take out most of the stuff she's talking about. The Just Water filters, the 0.2 micron, for sure, all that. But peptides and proteins, the only thing that's really going to take those out is, as you said, reverse osmosis. So reverse osmosis is, you know how when you put a bag of ice in your cooler and you go back and you put stuff in your cooler and all the stuff in the bottom is ruined because the water leaked out of the bag?
Yeah, of course.
Even you look at the bag and there's no hole in the bag, right?
Yeah.
That's because all plastic is somewhat porous. So someone figured this out at some point and they came up with a thing that's a very fancy word called reverse osmosis. And what reverse osmosis is it's basically forcing water through plastic, through a plastic barrier. And what comes out on the other side is pretty much pure water. Usually it'll be treated with carbon and things because it won't take out solubilized gases like chlorine, but it will take out peptides and proteins. That's for sure. The actual filtration rate is thought to be somewhere around 0.01 nanometers.
Okay, right? So if we are dealing with peptides, and if Dr. Artis is right, reverse osmosis, according to you, would work.
Yes, but the problem is with reverse osmosis is that you need a pressurized water system because 90% of the water that goes through an RO filter gets wasted. In fact, when you install it, I sent you a picture of an under-sink one that maybe you guys will cut in. An under-sink RO system, they're very cheap, a couple $100. They used to be like $125. I think I sent you the picture of the one that I bought. There's a ton of them on Amazon now. It comes with your canisters and your pressure tank, but your pressure tank, it just does the pressure to that little silver spigot that they give you for the side of your thing. You just pump that up with a bicycle pump and it gives you enough pressure to pressurize what little bit of water is in there so that you can fill it at your sink. And it's not a lot of water. It loses pressure very quickly.
Now, does reverse osmosis take care of things like chlorine and fluoride and other substances that just get metered into the public water supply? I mean, we talked to a guy who was responsible for constructing one of these municipal water treatment facility well houses. And he reached out to us after the Watch the Water documentary. And he told us, and I'm going to quote here, contamination is likely coming into the system by corrupting the contents of these additive barrels because these barrels, he said, are purchased from third parties and then simply rolled into place and hooked up to metering pumps. So there's already confirmed cases where that led to problems. In one case, there was way too much radon in the water, but it was still hooked up and sent out to the public for consumption. So does reverse osmosis handle stuff like that, radon problems or chlorine or fluoride?
Yeah, that's why I used it. You know, I used it for fluoride. So fluoride is poison. It's a byproduct of aluminum. It's of the aluminum mining industry. It's a complete payoff. They paid off the dentist long before they paid off the doctors for this one. They paid off the dentist for fluoride. It's actually harmful to your teeth. There's documentaries on it that are 10, 15 years old. And I've been using RO for decades for all the water, all the pasta, all the rice, everything that we use water for, boiling potatoes even, we use RO water for that. And RO does take out that. Now, chlorine is a solubilized gas. So chlorine, usually in the RO system, they have a carbon filter. And carbon, a regular carbon filter, you can just pour your water through activated carbon. That's going to remove the chlorine. And it lasts almost forever. It lasts a long, long time. So that's how you get rid of the chlorine. Chlorine, I'm not sure that that's as detrimental, and it does prevent algae.
Well, so, I think reverse osmosis sounds like the way to go. I mean, obviously, you know how this thing works. I'm up against a break here, so I got about a minute left. But if you were to choose between any of the methods that you have.
Of course, off-grid RO is the only way to go. And the only reason I include the other stuff is because of the off-grid. If your water pressure goes, you know, RO for sure, 100%. Treating your water with silver, treating your water I'm blanking again. The thing that Dr. Artis mentioned.
It's Friday. I mean, of course,
chlorine dioxide. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Chlorine dioxide has been on the scene here water with, recently as
chlorine
well.
Chlorine dioxide is great for viruses. It's great for anything alive, but algae, but not a peptide, not a carbon chain.
And that's assuming we're operating under the premise that viruses actually even exist. Who knows what the hell's going on out here? Paul Hilinski, always great talking to you. Yes. Gunsamerica.com. Go there for more prepping articles from Paul Hilinski. Thank you so much for being here. By the way, that guy that I spoke to, that water treatment facility, he says that there is no way, this is a quote from him, there's no way for the water department person to verify the contents of the barrel that has been delivered by these third-party vendors. So, in other words, we can come to the conclusion that our water treatment plants are basically running on autopilot, and frankly, anything could happen, including a mass poisoning. Go to gunsamerica.com right now for more from Paul Hilinski. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Go nowhere as the Stu Peters Show continues straight ahead.
Have you noticed there is something very wrong with the modern day man?
Are you a beta male?
I don't think so.
Beta!
Sperm counts are cratering.
Maybe it's male.
0% by 2050. But help is on the way. Keys to Life.shop has products which are making men, men again. And by the NFL, PGA, and the NCAA. Too manly. Clinically proven to raise IGF-1 levels. Man up. Take off the dress. Visit KeysToLife.shop. Get your manhood back today.
Well, it's Holy Week, it's Good Friday, and it's incredibly important that we acknowledge that any perceived power that this platform has doesn't belong to us. We recognize that it was divinely made possible because early on in this war, I gave this platform to God. And so after doing so, the timing of everything has just been remarkable. The arrival of Christian staff, from producers to video editors, even the sponsors that make this show possible. It's contributors. It's all undeniable. It's incredibly humbling. It's awesome. We serve an awesome God. God's will, and really my calling, is for the exposure of truth. The specific mission for me is to shine his light into the darkness and expose the evil being perpetuated by our true enemy, Satan. That light has saved lives. We know of a handful directly. I get emails explaining more. We pray that many millions more will be saved that we don't even know about. Dr. Jane Ruby came to us at just the right time, the very moment that God intended for her to be here, not a moment before or after. And on an international stage, Dr. Ruby has discovered breaking findings. She's reviewed studies and peer-reviewed papers. She's looked at images. She's made predictions based on her incredible amount of experience. Nobody is more eminently qualified to speak on COVID-19 and injections and treatments and therapeutics in the pharmaceutical world. And she joins us now. Dr. Ruby, I just want to take a moment to thank you. I mean, you've been instrumental. A pivotal component, really, like a necessary ingredient in this recipe that has saved real lives. And you should be recognized for that. Your discipline has allowed for you to bring real and vetted information to the table. And then your courage has allowed you to make predictions, to be out there at the tip of the spear, and to reach conclusions that sounded like conspiracy theories to unbelievers. You've taken your hits, the chinks to the armor. Attacked by the globalist media, but you've been vindicated time and time again. God bless you, Dr. Ruby. You're a true hero.
Well, Stu, I'm, you know, with you 100% in terms of, there's no doubt about it in my mind that this is our relationship, our work together has been divinely inspired. I just know it because it's been such a powerful force And I really want to give all thanks and glory to God for putting me with you at this time in the world. And I want him to have the credit for saving all of the lives. And I'll keep doing it as long as he keeps me in this place. So Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your kind thoughts.
Yeah. And thank you for responding to his call. I mean, it all started at a time where we needed you the most. And so it's really undeniable. I mean, even the way that we met and some of the predictions that you've made, just thinking about all of the memories over the past however many months or even a year now, it's just really undeniable. And when you hit your face and you pray at night about what to do next and reflect on what we've been given in a world full of black pills and darkness and imminent doom and gloom and war and rumors of wars and deception and lies, it's really easy to be overwhelmed by that. And so it's kind of strange for me to have this feeling of peace, and only he can provide that.
I wouldn't want to be doing anything else, or I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on any other platform, to be honest with you. Because, you know, yes, we met under a really interesting circumstances where a mutual political friend just kind of said, hey, have you heard of each other? No. Well, maybe you should talk. And, you know, the rest is history. And I came on your show and I didn't even realize, you know, the synergy that we could create, you know, as partners in this and what God had in store for us. But it's been an incredible year in that way. And, you know, all of our late night talks, I'm sure people wonder, you know, what we talk about, how we, you know, stay so connected. But it is really in this mission to get people the most amount of information and the truthful amount. I couldn't deliver it any other way. I just couldn't live with myself. We're all going to die anyway someday. That's, you know, part of the plan. And I just want my family and my fellow citizens, and I want the Lord to be proud and to say, look, you gave it your best and did my work there. So it's very, you know, it's emotionally, you know, very touching to me. And I keep asking God to let me off the hook, but I don't think we're done yet, Stu.
You know, and you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, the late night conversations, a lot of people probably do wonder. And that has allowed for more trust and more confidence from me to you and flowing through this platform as well, is because I know you, right? And I know about you. I know about your family. I know intimate details about your life and you about mine. And so that just, it kind of strengthens the trust and the bond that we have. And I think that there's no doubt that when, you know, it's your time to move on from here, or my time, but specifically yours, because I'm talking about you right now, is that God will look down on you and say, well done, my child. And I just know that he's proud of what you're doing. You're just a person of integrity who, I said, you've rolled your shoulders back, and you've held your head up high, and you've flexed up on these minions of Satan,
yeah,
that have been sent here to do this evil that we know that God has already conquered, which I think is what makes it easier. And not really a challenge to bravely tell the truth here on this platform every day, and really feel sorry for these people that originally we were frustrated with and referring to as sheep. And why can't you wake up to now understanding more that they are victims?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I mean, we've taken those slings and arrows from all different places. Yeah. You know, Satan is trying to stop us and make it more of an uphill climb. And some of those attacks and some of those efforts to slow us down, unfortunately, have come from within our own ranks. I'm talking about the movement in general, the freedom and truth movement in general. And I have very high antenna for that kind of deception, and I watch it closely, and I just want people to be protected from it. But, you know, when I look at Holy Week, I think of, you know, in terms of Easter and Passover, it's a time of renewal, and it's a time, it's God's promise that things will be renewed and refreshed, and that they'll be within his kingdom, you know, and his purview. God is in, I have to remind myself that God is in control of everything, even the evil right now. But we have these holidays like Passover and Easter to remind us of, you know, for Easter, for, you know, Christ rising, the renewal and the hope and the absolution from that, and Passover, you know, being passed over from the death and destruction, again, renewal for the Jewish people. And so I'm at peace too. I'm very comforted. I know we have more of this fight, but I'm very comforted at this time, this week. It's very special and very prayerful.
And if God can resurrect supposedly a dead human being who we now know was 100% God, 100% man, that doesn't add up. How can you be 100% and plus 100% or 50% plus 50% would equal 100%? Like, don't try to do God's math. Why? Because he's God. That's why. And that's why it's possible. And if he can resurrect that or do that, we would be foolish to think that he cannot resurrect peace and resurrect truth and resurrect integrity and a sort of a democracy or the rule of law or the great country that we know that we're literally going to war for.
And human freedom. I mean, God loves, he gave us choice, right? We can screw up or we can try to be better, but he gives us choice. He loves us really not, he loves us in spite of our faults, not, or because of our faults, not in spite of them. A great saying that was given to me by a clergyman once, and I thought it was really powerful. He loves us because of our weaknesses and faults, because we have the chance to grow in him. And so it's just a beautiful thought for this time. And there's always renewal in the Lord. There's always renewal. And that's what this week is about.
Amen.
So I want to thank you as well. I want to thank you for everything you've done. You don't get thanks enough from any entities. They're either competing with you or they're criticizing you with, you know, fake fact checking stuff, but you're a pretty brave guy. And as for those late night talks, one of the things I'd like people to know is that there have been times when just I inadvertently blurted out in my own fear, Stu, do you really want to say that or, you know, bring that out? And, you know, you've always been consistent and said, well, Jane, it's the truth. Of course, I'm going to bring it out. I have no fear to bring out the truth. And that has helped me to grow my courage. And it's just been great, really great being your partner in this mission and on this platform. And I'm very grateful for the time and the work we've done together.
You're welcome in this foxhole anytime. You know, I read the other day, and I've read it before in the past, but I read again the other day, and it was a real like eye opener and a real check for me. And I hope that it will be a check for everybody who's watching this. Imagine waking up this morning and only having the things that you thanked God for yesterday.
Wow.
So take the time and thank the Lord. And I thank God for you. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much. God bless you. Happy Easter.
God bless you, Stu. Happy Easter.
Love the hard-hitting truth delivered daily by The Stu Peters Show? Consider becoming a Red Voice Media premium member. Extended sit-down interviews, weekly in-depth reports, ad-free. Premium episodes, exclusive content on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Defeat the lying globalists. Support real independent journalism. Full access to The Dr. Jane Ruby Show. Shots fired with Deanne Lorraine. Marie Z Uncensored. And the military-focused Richard Leonard Show. All this and more exclusively on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Join today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for all your support during these times of cancel culture. They've canceled our box stores, our shopping channels. Now they've even tried to debank me, and it's all because they want our voice canceled. Buying today also helps support Stu Peters' show, which is one of the best podcasts, best shows you're ever going to watch, because he speaks out like it is. He tells the news. What a concept. Well, today I'm going to pass the savings on to you. You get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99. And if you order today, I'm going to give you my book free. By the way, my book, this is the American dream. This is what it is. This is what we're all fighting for. This is what we're not going to give up on. We're not going to lose our freedoms. You use promo code STU. You guys, this is the best price in history. Because of your great support, thank you all, and God bless.
It's Good Friday, the Friday where all of us Christians remember how Jesus Christ, God, made flesh here on earth, died on a cross to save all of humanity from its sins. So humbling, so sobering, and unfathomable, unimaginable love, actually. On Sunday, we'll celebrate Easter, the feast of Christ's resurrection. This is the most important Christian holiday, the most important day of the year. And it honors the most important moment in all of human history. But yet, at thousands of our Christian nation's schools, this all-important holiday isn't even celebrated or commemorated at all. Some kids won't even get the day off. Others that do give a day off try to hide it away or disguise it. Without shame, they just call it spring break, like it's all just some big stupid coincidence. But they don't do that for other holidays. In New York City's public schools, they get a day off for Yom Kippur. They get a day off for Chinese New Year. They get a day off for the start of Ramadan. But for Good Friday, nope, they just get spring recess. I know that you understand that this is intentional and deliberate. These people want to eradicate and push out Christianity and replace it with anything else that they can. Leslie Larson is a mom who's experienced all of this firsthand. The principal of her children's school sent out an email that tried to educate everyone about Ramadan, the Muslim holy month. Here's all you need to know, by the way, about Ramadan. Ramadan was created by a false prophet who massacred his enemies and married a six-year-old girl. Bam, done. That's all you need to know. But anyway, in the same email where this principal is educating about Ramadan, he refused to recognize Easter at all, the holiday far more children at the school observe, and you know, the one created by God, not by a pedophile. Leslie sent the principal an email back. She said that in the name of equity and inclusion, he ought to recognize Easter as well. Well, he replied to Leslie and said that he wouldn't be bossed around by a single complaint from one parent. So Leslie went and collected hundreds of parents to complain and get the Easter email sent. We admire a backbone like that, and we're happy to have Leslie Larson joining us now. Happy Good Friday and happy Easter to you. Welcome and thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Happy Easter. It's so great that we can actually celebrate it. We can actually say it somewhere with like-minded people.
Yeah. So tell us how the story ends. I mean, did you chalk up a win here for Christ?
I would like to think so. What we did get is we got a lot of advocacy. We got a lot of parents to come forward and say, we too would like to see both sides represented. If you're going to show one side, you have to show all sides. This is a very important week for a lot of us. It is Ramadan week, Ramadan season for Muslims. It is also Passover for Jewish people, and it's Easter for Christians. So if you're going to talk about one, talk about all, or talk about none. In the name of equality, which is truly what we would like, is equality, then you have it all. You talk about one so that the peers can be educated, but then you talk about all of them. Or as the Supreme Court said in, I believe it was 1962, the separation of church and state, then you celebrate none and you talk about none and you do the reading, the arithmetic and everything else that they should be teaching them. So either you do none or you do all.
So how many parents ultimately ended up signing this email that you sent?
So I sent it to various groups. I texted it to people, and a lot of people wrote in. A lot of people called into the principal because his last message to me, we went back and forth a bunch. I asked him to, you know, in the name of equality, to talk about Easter as well. And he would not. So he kept saying, thank you for your feedback. And I said, so are we on the same page that equality is the value and that you should send about Easter just like you did about Ramadan? And he repeatedly said, thank you for your feedback. His final message said, I will not be told by one parent what I write in my newsletter. So then, like you said, I rallied a bunch of parents in a lot of different groups and texted friends and all the parents that I knew in the school and said, let's show him that it's not one parent. Let's show him that it is every Christian parent who feels this way. So I know firsthand of about 20 emails. Fortunately, this was also picked up by a Christian organization where they advocate for Christian causes. And the lady called me and she said, well, I know from my side that at least 20 emails have been sent and 20 voicemails have been sent to your principal through that advocacy organization alone. And that was in the first hour that she picked it up. So I think through them, they sent a lot. And I know the parents I know, we've sent as many as possible, I guess.
You know, I understand why you used the equality approach, but obviously nothing and no one and anything is equal to Jesus Christ. Christ is King. And so that's why you're experiencing the victory that you are. What do you think this is really all about?
This is about equity. This is not about equality at all. Because if this was about equality, he would have showed all sides, because this is a very important season for all different religions. So he should have showed them all. But what he said to me, so then I ultimately got a phone call from, it was Mark Grossklaus. He's the head of education for the district. So I ultimately got a phone call back from him. And I think the phone call was due to some of the pushback, because I had called a few times with no response. He finally got back to me yesterday and he said, Leslie, he said, we're on top of the calendar. We dominate the calendar. What more do you want? It is basically what he said. So he's saying that Christians already have whatever space, larger space he's feeling we have. So I believe that he's speaking in his version of equity, that he's saying, so we have to represent Ramadan and we have to represent those students while totally disregarding the others. So he's totally disregarding equality.
He's trying to even out the calendar.
Yes, yes. He said, oh, Leslie, everybody already knows what Easter is. We already dominate the calendar. Everybody knows why we have Friday off. And I said, but do they though? Because on the calendar, it is a picture of a cartoon Easter bunny. So I really don't believe that other religions know what Easter is. I think even some Christians could use a refresher on that, being that the calendar that he claims that we dominate shows a cartoon Easter bunny. Do they really know?
I couldn't agree with you more. You're saying everything that I wanted to say. I don't know that it's necessarily even about whether or not it's recognized by these anti-Christian zealots in the school district or not, because we know Jesus, and I guess it's our job to lead people to him, right? At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And so advertising for him is probably the key. I mean, evangelizing for him. So you're right. I would much rather see a cross on the calendar than a stupid Easter bunny, because it's not about peeps and marshmallows and hidden baskets full of annoying grass that your parents have to vacuum up for the rest of eternity. This is about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for all of humanity, for that principle, and for everybody else who is trying to even out the calendar in the name of equity. One day they will know that. Hopefully it's not too late for them. So we will pray for them and just fervently, like for all of these people, they need it so badly. Leslie Larson, thank you for your fight. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless.